Welcome back to Your Daily Dose. It's me, Nick. On this episode, I get some advice from Bob and Jay about hosting shows. I recently was the MC for an open mic at the Nook on Robinson, and while I think it went well, I also may have made it a little too complicated, which is what I do when I have too much time to prepare for something. I overthink it, I create more work for myself, and in this case, I write a bunch of limericks. Enjoy.
I wrote too many limericks.
Did you write some for today?
No, not for today, because this is a family-friendly show, and limericks
They're not always dirty.
The ones I wrote were.
Okay.
Yeah, I did a Valentine's open mic at a bar the other night, and I was like, you know, I can't just do an open mic. So I wrote erotic Mad Libs. So the idea was a couple would go out of the room, and the audience would help me fill out the Mad Lib, and then one of them had to read it to the other.
Oh, like a love letter.
Yeah. And then the limericks were, I took, we got a book of limericks. I work at a used bookstore of 1,700 limericks.
Wow.
All disgusting and filthy. And so I just updated them to be around Florida or Orlando, like have some sort of tie-in. And I thought people would do like a limerick slam battle. No one wanted to do that.
No one.
I just made people read limericks.
Yeah. No one. The limerick was magnificently popular, what, in the 1800s?
These were written between 1870 and 1950.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So, yeah. Wow. Vintage limericks.
I remember having a book of limericks by, but it was like a kid's book by like Edward Lear, I think was his name.
Yeah.
And it was like a little kid's book, like a Scholastic. And so they were all, you know, whatever. You're a kid and you read it, it's like, oh, that's interesting. They rhyme. And that was the extent of what I took away from it, except the guy's name. And my only other exposure to limericks is, are you a Beastie Boys fan?
Yeah.
So they have one song called the Negotiation Limerick Song, which is the greatest song of all time. And I listened to it. It's like, these are actually, every verse is actually a limerick. It's fascinating. It's awesome.
I never heard that before. That is interesting. I just love the rhythm of the limerick.
Well, right? Then you'll love the song.
Just because it is, it's of such a natural rhythm.
Yeah,
because that was filthy what you just said.
Yes, even encoded like that.
That was so perfect. That felt good to be beeped at that moment too, because that's exactly what it would be. It's always like the last word is, and you see it getting set up as you go. You know, which is kind of the fun thing.
There once was a man who knew Venus. I mean, what else is going to come up between us?
Hey, that was pretty good, actually. That's probably the second verse.
That would be the second line.
Yeah, because you need to save the other one for the very end.
Well, the kicker ending. That's the whole thing. By the way, I don't want to let it pass how impressed I am with the exercises that you chose to come up with to fill your space for that open mic.
It was ridiculous. I could have just done an open mic. So I definitely wanted to ask both of you, having done a lot of stage work and being on stage and facilitating events, like how do you balance that out? Because it's in a bar. Mm. So you've got people at the bar in the back who are kind of not involved.
Yeah. Right.
And then you've got the people who are waiting their turn who are fairly involved and fairly good about supporting and everything else. Like, how do you balance that out? I know SAC, you pretty much have
hard.
Everybody.
Yeah, that's really hard because we've done like bar mitzvahs where it's like you got 13-year-old kids, right, that are all gathered around front, kind of paying attention, but also paying attention to each other. Then you've got the 200 older Jewish people in the background who really don't care about the show at all, but they're glad the kids are occupied. And it's this weird duality of
the expectation because they paid for it.
Exactly. Oh, better deliver. You better deliver in that environment.
The number of gigs that I've done. Oh my God.
That's why I stopped doing gigs. It was a bar mitzvah that drove me away. it was a bar mitzvah in a fire station. This is the thing. And it was me and Clark was there, and Layden was there. And I thought maybe you were there too.
I think probably John was too. Because I'm probably, well, at the time I was probably the only Jew at SAC.
Well, isn't late?
Well, now there are several more. Rob is, and you know.
Oh yeah, we did a gig for a young, Oh, what was the name of it?
Yeah, be sure to put that part in the show,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, please.
The Jews at the... Yeah, the Jews here in Zachary. Yeah. Oy vey, now we're taking... Yeah, that's what you need in
I mean,
show.
We're in Florida, so we're
we
all
good.
We don't
throw Tootsie Rolls. We throw kafilta fish. You'll love it. Come on down.
What's a matzah?
Okay, so no, but... So we did a gig for... It was like a young Jewish professionals group at the J. And they were kind of a rowdy group. And Layden goes out and he says, Give me a location that could fit on this stage. And they said, Israel. And Layden said, well, clearly Israel wouldn't fit on this stage. And they went, boo. It's like there was no winning in that situation. Okay, if he said, okay, Israel will fit on the stage, they'd be like, boo. The beauty of improv is that when things go south, you can usually just turn north and correct the boo. It doesn't always work out because, well, life doesn't always work out. And improv is just life magnified and put on the stage. But even when it doesn't work out, there's always a laugh and a lesson to be had. Nick and I want to give a special thanks to our buddy Jay Hopkins for bringing his brand of wisdom and funny to our show today. It's always a pleasure to sit down with a good friend and laugh for a couple of hours. More of that in upcoming episodes. For now, this show is done. Thanks for tuning into your Daily Dose. We'll catch you next time.